We're told that we shouldn't do it. Yet the people who tells us not to do it themselves. In fact, in order to survive, we all must do this. You have to do this in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Many of us regard this thing as such a bad word. But if you think about it, in order to properly function as a citizen, this practice is necessary. Charles and Tim were playing in the sand together. Suddenly, Tim started throwing sand at Chuck. Chuck's mom came over and took Chuck away. She later told Chuck, "Don't play with Tim." Michelle was an attractive woman. Because she was attractive, there were many suitors in her life. After 6 years of dating, Michelle accepted Harry's marriage proposal, even though two other men asked for her hand in marriage. After Gertrude woke up, she went to the refrigerator. After contemplating what to eat for breakfast, Gertrude decided to have grits and eggs for breakfast. Russia made a decision recently to destroy food imported from the United States and other European countries in retaliation for Western sanctions imposed on them. They could be seen out taking big hams and throwing it in the furnace, stomping on peaches. Tracy and I went to see the latest installment of the movie known as The Avengers. After hearing several blasphemous remarks, we walked out. All of these events have something in common. The thing that they have in common is that in each of these instances, someone exercised discrimination. Someone showed partiality, bias, or prejudice. In the first instance, Chuck's mother showed partiality against him for throwing sand at her son. In the second instance, when Michelle accepted Harry's marriage proposal, she discriminated against the other two men who proposed to her. By choosing to eat grits and eggs, Gertrude showed partiality against all the other food in the refrigerator. By destroying the imported food, Russia exercised prejudice against Western countries. And of course, when we walked out of the movie theater, we showed discrimination against that movie. If you would please turn to 1 Corinthians 15, better known as the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. We will only read one verse in the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. The King James Version reads, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The word communications means companionship. It can also mean intercourse. It can also mean communion. It implies fellowship. An example I gave earlier Chuck's mom recognized the evil companionship that was taking place between Chuck and Tim. And she no longer wanted Chuck keeping company with Tim. She considered that bad communications. Discrimination is defined as the quality or a power of finely, that's F-I-N-E-L-Y, finely distinguishing. It involves differentiation and discernment. It is the ability to discern what is of high quality, what is of good judgment or taste. Discrimination is a part of daily life. The soap we use, the type of vehicle we drive, the college we plan to attend, the route we take traveling from point A to point B. When we are applying for a job, we want that potential employer to notice us more than the other applicants. We want them to show bias in our favor. We do everything possible to stand out when we're applying for that job. And by doing so, we're hoping for favorable discrimination. Question on the floor. Why did you choose the outfit you're wearing? Why didn't you choose the other outfits? Do you know by choosing that particular outfit, you showed bias toward all the other outfits in your closet? Shame on you for being so prejudiced. Please turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. In the chapter we read of Judah, the nation of Judah being taken into captivity. Daniel chapter 1. All right. Begin at verse 1. It reads, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And back then, that's how they captured nations. They surrounded it and pretty much drowned it out until the people gave up, prevented all the food from coming in, all transportation, all supplies. Verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, his idol. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Notice here already that Nebuchadnezzar did not take captive of all of the king of Judah's seed. He didn't take them all for the training that he had wished to instill within them. Verse 3 says he only chose certain of the seed. And by choosing only those that were skillful, Nebuchadnezzar showed discrimination. Continuing verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Goes on to describe Daniel's friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If you would skip to verse 8, please. It continues the story. Daniel proposed in his heart, or purposed in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, chamberlains, that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said, verse 11, to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So after 10 days, let us eat the pulse, the vegetable. Let them eat that other stuff and see who looks better after 10 days. Verse 14, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Here we see that Daniel discriminated against the ungodly laws, in this case, ungodly dietary laws. He favored God's dietary laws. It was believed during this time that the Chaldeans killed the meat with the blood and sacrificed it to idols, therefore make it unsuitable for eating. By rejecting that meat and eating the next best food available, which was pulse or vegetables, Daniel showed the steward, Melzar, which his name or that title means steward or butler, that practicing the dietary laws of God were far better than that of man. Earlier, I mentioned that they tell us not to do it, yet they do it themselves. The they in this case is the government and certain elements within our society. The government has laws in place that are designed to prevent discrimination in housing and in certain hiring practices or labor laws. However, on the subject of housing, if you wanted to stay at the White House with its 132 rooms, 35 bathrooms, and 6 levels, you would be rejected and possibly thrown into jail, even though you and I are the ones paying for the White House to be operated. You can argue that that's discrimination, that they're blocking us out. When the executive branch is Democrat, normally that person in the Oval Office hires very few Republicans on their staff. Whoever the person in the Oval Office is, they hire mostly Democrats. The same holds true when a Republican is the commander-in-chief. Yet, no one ever complains about those hiring practices, and no one considers that discriminatory. When the president is in town, we are not allowed to share the same road with the president. Local traffic is shut down so that he and his entourage can pass through. That is discrimination. The government tells us what drugs are legal and what drugs are illegal. Countries that we can visit and countries that we can't visit. Then the judicial branch gets involved. They pass rulings that discriminate against First Amendment rights, religion, and the freedom thereof. In the past 50 years, they ruled in favor of pornography, infanticide, we call it abortion, and recently, illegal marriage. But that appears to be acceptable in the ways of the world. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. As Moses is about to depart this life, he gave a repetition of the law, which is what Deuteronomy means, to the Israelites who were going to enter in the promised land, symbolic of the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we will begin at verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 10. It reads, "If you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn unto the Eternal thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that you may do it." You don't have to reach far for it. It's close at hand, even in your mouth. Verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Eternal thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Eternal thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day," and some would translate that word denounce as declare, "that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither you passes over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Eternal your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Eternal sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." God wants us to be able to distinguish between good and evil. He wants us to be able to discern those things which leads to life and that which leads to death. And he wants us to choose that which leads to life eternal. In order to do that, we must discriminate. We must exercise prejudice. One might say, "Well, Max, God doesn't show partiality. The Bible says that he is not a respecter of persons." With that said, please turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The story of Peter and Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. We'll begin at verse 1. Acts chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Cornelius, a Gentile, Roman soldier in charge of 100 soldiers, feared God, and was well respected. And although he was a soldier with great authority, when he saw that angel, he became fearful just like any other human being would. He understood that compared to the power of God, the Roman sword and shield could not help him. Continuing on, verse 5. And now, story continues, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you ought to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So this man had authority, he had people waiting on him. Verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, or noontime. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Perhaps he saw lizards, hippopotamuses, hyenas, crows, eagles, snails, roaches. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. I know Peter's saying, what? But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. It's interesting that Peter, who spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ before his death and resurrection, never ate anything unclean, even though there are mainstream Christians that claim a certain verse think that Christ made all foods clean. Continuing in verse 15, and the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God had cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Why did he doubt what the vision meant? Why didn't Peter immediately think after the vision was shown to him three times that all foods are now clean? Because Peter understood that God does not change, according to Malachi 3:6, and that when his word goes forth, his command goes forth, it does not return empty or void. It's final. His laws do not change. Verse 18, continuing on, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And Peter, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And it said, Cornelius the centurion is the just man, and one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered in Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. If Peter was the first pope, then he should have let the centurion continue to worship him as popes do. Just a thought. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, And he, Peter, said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And that was the whole point of the vision of the unclean beasts, that Peter might see that he should not call any man common or unclean. Skip to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. God does not discriminate when it comes to salvation. He does not desire that anyone perish or die the second death. He is not a respecter of persons in that regard. Please turn to Revelation chapter 22. The last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22. In the previous chapter, Revelation 21, God revealed to John what New Jerusalem looks like, with 12 gates, pearl, streets of gold. The beginning of chapter 22 addresses the river of healing waters, the tree of life. I'm going to begin in verse 7. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God, the angel. And he said unto me, verse 10, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. Without. That term without means outward, outside, or out of doors. It can also mean strange. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. Wait a minute. Is Jesus saying here that there are certain people who will not enter into his kingdom? Why is it that these people can't come in? Is there not enough room? To exclude is to be discriminatory, is it not? Why is Jesus showing prejudice against those who are commandment breakers? Because these people show that they continuously and willingly hate God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 describes those who will not enter in. It includes the effeminate. It includes fornicators. They discriminated against all his ways, and they mistreated the people of God. And because they are not willing to be governed, they will not enter into the kingdom. Although God is not a respecter of persons when it comes to salvation, when it comes to righteousness and unrighteousness, God discriminates. He favors the repentant person who strives to obey. Confession. When it comes to certain things, I discriminate. I'm prejudiced. For example, I believe that there's no faith better than true Christianity. Islam? Nope. Hinduism? Nope. Confucianism? Uh-uh. Darwinism? Atheism? Agnosticism? The fact that you don't support either a disbelief or faith in God, that's agnosticism. Because there's enough wisdom available for you to know for yourself. Christianity is the best, bar none. That's my bias. I respect the person's right to believe whatever they desire to believe. However, they're wasting their time. Christianity is the best. True Christianity has liberated nations, generated prosperity, and demonstrated godly wisdom worldwide. Please turn to Leviticus 18, where God teaches us about personal conduct. Leviticus 18. Leviticus chapter 18, read two verses, beginning at verse 22. Leviticus 18, 22. It reads, "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shall you lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion." Confession, when it comes to sexuality, I'm prejudiced. There's nothing better than heterosexuality. Everything else is confusion. Everything else is abnormal. Everything else leads to depression and unhappiness. Just as homosexuals and those who have relations with animals favor and are prejudiced toward that way of life, I am prejudiced toward heterosexuality. It's God's way and it's the best, bar none. And what this goes to show, we all discriminate about something. We all have prejudices. We have our favorite foods, our favorite TV shows, our favorite websites, our favorite games, and even our favorite styles of clothing. There are certain neighborhoods that we don't go into for various reasons. Some because they're just downright dangerous. Others because we have no business being there. Discrimination has a bad connotation today, but as you can see, the meaning of the word can be quite positive. Not all discrimination is unjust. There is justified discrimination. God wants us to choose Him. He wants us to choose His ways. But by choosing Him, we're discriminating against Satan. By choosing God, we are discriminating against the ways of this world. However, to enter into God's kingdom, He requires that we choose, that we discern, and that we exercise good judgment, all of which are qualities of discrimination. The title of this message is God Requires Discrimination.